We're going to be in James chapter 4, two verses tonight. I remember when I first started out as a pastor, I was preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians in the evenings, and I did entire chapters, the whole chapter, first chapter of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and so on. And I did that at least partly because I wanted to make sure the message was long enough. When Brother Tim came to Gilman, the very first message he ever preached was 8 minutes long. And I mean, I do things like that. I timed it, and I thought, wow, 8 minutes. Well, I've heard him preach way longer than that since that time. But I just wanted to make sure that I didn't get done in 8 minutes up here, so I did whole chapters. And I know that it's not so much about the time. It's obviously more about the content. But today, if I tried to squeeze in an entire chapter, something's going to get lost. Either I wouldn't cover it, or I'd lose you because we're doing too much and that kind of stuff. So tonight, we got two verses, just very short and sweet, but it's very, very important stuff for all of us as Christians. The heading in my Bible, and it's that's kind of how I divide this up, it's got little topic headings, and mine says, do not judge a brother above these two verses. And I would almost guarantee you that if you go out in the world today, go out to Walmart and say, do you know any Bible verses at all? And probably most of them wouldn't, but if they know one, they know this one. Judge not, lest ye be judged. And they put a period at the end of that because what they want to say is, we as Christians don't have any right to be telling them if what they're doing is right or wrong. But that's not all that verse says. It's Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. And in my version, it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And that's a whole other sermon for another day. But we're going to see some more from Matthew 7 a little bit later on that I want to share with you. But a lot of people interpret that particular verse from Matthew to mean that we should never condemn anything or anyone as either being right or wrong. It's not our job to make judgments. But still, I think, and I know, we are, as Christians, are called to discern right from wrong. Yet we've got to remember this. If we pass judgment on anybody, we have to be prepared to be judged with the same type of judgment. So we're going to look at these two verses tonight. Not much time to stand up, but I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please stand as we read from God's Word. James chapter 4, 11 and 12. I've got 1 and 2 written here, and that kind of scared me. All right, 11 and 12. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Let's pray. Father, this is a difficult passage. It's hard for us to look at this and know exactly what it is you'd have us to do. But I know, Lord, in other scripture you tell us that we must be discerning. We must be able to know what's right and what's wrong. And in this case here, Lord, we have to be very, very cautious about how we pass judgment on anybody else's behavior. Lord, I know that before I can say anything to anybody, I have to make sure that I'm right with you. And I pray that the same thing would apply to each and every one of us, that we would carefully examine our own hearts before we go around examining anybody else's. And I just pray, Lord, that you guide us and direct us in all these things. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Two main themes here in these two verses: speaking evil about somebody and judging. Now, I don't speak any of the languages that this was originally written in. I just barely can handle English. But what I read and what my sources tell me is that the word used here for speaking evil describes the act of slandering someone when they're not there to defend themselves, talking about somebody behind their back, in other words. Now, I don't speak other languages, but I did used to teach Constitution. And one of the things that I always taught in Constitution was about the word slander. Slander is a word I always had the students look up a definition for in a dictionary. I don't know how they'd do it today. I'm sure they'd just you know, whatever, but copy and paste. But of all the rights that are guaranteed in the Constitution, and this is something that's hard for a lot of people to accept, but it's true, every right that we're guaranteed in the Constitution has a limit. There are certain things that were guaranteed. For example, First Amendment. And I would spend 2 to 3 days just on the First Amendment. I could do it tonight if you want me to. But anyway, no, I won't do that. But I spent a lot of time on it because freedom of speech, press, religion, assembly, and the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. In other words, we can complain to the government. Well, that's the First Amendment, and there's so much stuff there. But one of the limits to freedom of speech is just simply this. We can't slander someone else. What's slander? Slander, I always had them define like this. It's a spoken lie, and I always told them slander is spoken so that they'd remember that. But it's a spoken lie that damages character or reputation. Now, if I said that somebody was a Chiefs fan, and can you feel the deflation in the room today because of that? But if I said that somebody was a Chiefs fan and in fact they are not, that's a lie, but it really doesn't damage their character. If I said they were a Raiders fan, it would, but that's a whole... But on the other hand, if I said that somebody was a criminal or said that somebody was a bank robber or a murderer or anything else like that, when in fact it's a lie, that's a lie that damages their character, and that's slander. And you can't do that. That's a limit on our freedom of speech. And just so you know, libel, L-I-B-E-L, is the same thing, only it's written lies. If you put it in the Bethany paper, for example, that's libel. Well, judging comes from a fairly harmless word that just simply means to evaluate or to distinguish. And one of the most horrendous things that I've ever been asked to do in my life was to judge a baby contest. Nobody is happy in the outcome of a baby contest except one person, and that's mom. Dad probably doesn't care that much. But anyway, it was a terrible situation. I don't ever want to do that again. But judging, you know, distinguishing or evaluating, judging is not condemned in Scripture. It doesn't tell us you can't judge. There's a righteous judgment in the sense of discerning right and wrong that I've already hit on. But there's also unrighteous judgment in the sense of belittling or trash-talking or slandering. And I read in the research for this message, so this isn't original with me, but I read that unrighteous condemnation or judgment is harmful because it involves us as humans trying to take on a job that belongs only to God. Okay? God has the authority to judge. We don't necessarily. For example, judging who is saved and who is not saved. And that's at least one reason that I'm really very, very cautious when somebody comes to me and asks, says they want to accept Jesus as their Savior. I who am I to say whether they understand it, whether they're sincere, whether they're going to follow through? You know, I it's really tough. Now, that being said, there have been times when I just really didn't feel comfortable with particularly a young person, and I ask them to just wait for a while. And many times they've grown up a little bit and come back and have a better understanding. Well, that's not exactly what we're speaking of here, but let's look at verse 11 again. Do not speak of evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, you remember this is James, and James has told us already that we should be doers of the word, not hearers only. And here he says, if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, you're judging the law. And that gets kind of confusing. But in the first sentence, the very first sentence, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. If we followed that completely, if everybody followed that completely, do you know how many of the world's problems would be solved? Truly, if we just stopped trash-talking other people. The word brethren or brother is used in this one verse 3 times. And so I wanted to make sure that I understood this, and I'm not saying that I do, but I tried to find some research on this. And you know, I've told you before, I've got my Johnny Hunt book, my favorite preacher to listen to, and I've got his book on sermons from the book of James to use as a resource. He's got an entire chapter on James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Then he's got a chapter on James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, but he got nothing on 11 and 12 here. So I wanted to see what his take on the brethren thing was. And most scholars that I have consulted on this or researched on this agree that we're talking here about fellow believers. Don't speak evil of another Christian. Don't speak evil of another member of this church or a tender in this church. Because if we do, we're putting ourselves in the position of God, but we're also driving people away who are hearing us say that. You know, if that's the way they treat their brothers, I don't want to be a part of that. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 12 through 13, Paul wrote this: "For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." So he says judge, but don't judge, and it gets confusing. The verse from James doesn't say not to judge. It says not to speak evil of a brother. I came across this, and I get a lot of stuff from other people, but I thought this was really good. Righteous judgment or discernment talks to the other person. Unrighteous judgment talks about the other person. That helps me to see a lot of things. It's righteous if we're talking to the person about whom we're speaking. It's unrighteous if we're talking to somebody else about them. That, I don't know about you, but that convicts me. There's a lot of things in this one that convicted me this week. Most of us are familiar with Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. If you're not familiar with exactly what it says, I know you've got the idea. It tells us that if a brother has sinned against you, we should go to him and tell him. Although the scripture doesn't mention this, I think it's very likely that if we had 10 of those cases and we went to 10 of those people, at least half the time, maybe more, we'd find out that there was nothing to be upset about in the first place. You know how it goes. Somebody said that somebody said that somebody said, and then you go and find out from them that's not the way it happened at all. So go to the brother if you think he sinned against you, and find the truth. Talk to the brother. Something else that Scripture doesn't say, but other Scripture, that particular Scripture, but other Scripture backs it up. You go to them in love. Not in condemnation, not in accusation. If we go to somebody's house to talk to them about something, and we come in screaming and stomping and pointing fingers, you know what's going to happen. It's not going to end well. It just isn't. And the other thing about that is, if you go to somebody in that fashion, you better be prepared for the judgment committee to come to your house next. Okay? If indeed there has been a sin, that's something else I think about with Matthew 18. If your brother sins against you, it doesn't say if he voted the wrong way on the color of the carpet. It says if he sinned against you. And that's a much bigger deal than what most people get all bent out of shape about. But if there indeed has been a sin, and they don't acknowledge or they don't repent, that's when we get other people involved, not before. From Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, and this is the verse that I always tried to balance Matthew 18 with. It says that we are not to try to remove the speck from our brother's eye until we've taken the plank out of our own. And that doesn't mean we can't ever confront anybody, but it does mean this. We need to examine our own hearts and turn from our own sin before we even think about confronting somebody else about theirs. I think that would eliminate a lot of those situations if we looked at that truly in the right way. The verse also talks about the law. And if you've tried to read through your Bible, and I encourage you to do that, just like I encourage you to read devotions this morning, and I just think you should. It doesn't have to be in a year Read a chapter a day. It'll take you a long time, but do it. Read. I like to read more than a chapter a day so I can get through the law, quite frankly, to get through it a little quicker. But it's very lengthy, but it provides guidance for almost everything about the Jewish people's lives. It told them, you know, what they could eat, what they could wear. You can't combine two different kinds of fabric, you know, linen and cotton together, that kind of stuff. It tells you about how to find atonement for your sins. It tells you how to purify yourself after you've been made unclean. But included in the law is the ninth commandment, which says, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. And we kind of interpret that to mean don't lie, but specifically about your neighbor. Don't speak evil about your brother. And then in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, we're told, and we're told many other places, to love your neighbor as yourself. So if we speak evil of our brother, we have just broken both of those laws. Pure and simple. By breaking the laws, we're passing judgment, and we're saying also that those laws don't apply to me because I can go around and say whatever I want. No, we can't. And here's something else. I said this morning that if you don't remember anything else from the message, try to remember this. This is that from tonight. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. If we speak evil of a brother, we become evil. Here's another quote I came across, and I love this. If we are talking about a situation to someone who is neither a part of the problem or a part of the solution, we're probably gossiping, and that's speaking evil. And we become sinners just as much as the person that we're talking about. And again, I say, I don't know about you, but that convicts me. We've got to be careful what we say. Be careful, little tongue. Verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save, praise God, and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Well, based on this verse, and I know many other passages, we might be more inclined to just let bad behavior slide because, you know, we might run the risk of seeming condemning or judgmental, and who are we to condemn somebody's obviously sinful behavior? And it might seem easier also just to let somebody wallow in their sin, but in the process, that might lead others to eternal condemnation. We're going to get to the last verse of James I was looking ahead. I think we got probably about 5 more weeks of James, the way that it's divided up, and I hate to see it come to an end. But the very last verse of the very last chapter of James, James 5:20, says this: let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So if we turn a sinner from sinning, we're saving a soul from death. And I want to try to explain that because maybe we're talking here about somebody who's never accepted Christ at all. But the verse just prior to that, verse 19, says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and the implication is there, they've been in the truth, but they've wandered from it. And that opens up a whole can of worms, I know. Can somebody who was once among you wander from the truth and therefore be condemned to hell? Well, my standard answer for that is just simply this. Not if their salvation was genuine. And if their salvation was genuine, they can't comfortably walk away and live in sin. They can live in sin, but they can't be comfortable. The Holy Spirit won't let you be comfortable openly, overtly sinning. Just pure and simple again. How many times have I said that tonight? But anyway, it can also apply this way. If any one of us walk away from the truth and go live in sin, but we retain our salvation, the question is, how many other souls would therefore be condemned because they followed our example? People who hadn't been saved, people who didn't know Jesus, people who had never accepted and were maybe just right on the verge of it when they saw me walk away, and they think, well, what's the point? So we can't just live in sin as Christians ever because of the condemnation that's brought to other people's souls. One last thing that I've seen before, and I've seen all kinds of different ways that this was said, but if somebody starts to tell you something about somebody else, and it's not uplifting, it's not edifying, it's not It's not an attempt to rehabilitate them or anything like that. They just want to tell you the good dirt they heard. I hope I can remember these things. You ask them, why are you telling me this? What's your reason for telling? And that makes them confront the issue. Why am I telling this? Because I want to hurt somebody? And then you might say, where'd you hear this? Who told you this? And then, have you spoken to the person you're talking about? That's a big clincher right there. People are always willing to tell you about them. Are they willing to tell them about them? Are they willing to confront them? And then finally, and I think this is the one that'll stop it, may I quote you on what you're telling me? Can I put it on Facebook that I heard this from so-and-so? You know, all of those things will not just stop it, but also maybe confront the person who's spreading it. And I want to ask you to hold me accountable. If I ever start doing things like that, say, why are you telling me this? Who'd you hear it from? May I quote you? That'll stop it. I just almost guarantee it. Either it's going to stop them from telling you something that shouldn't be repeated, or it's going to bring about a scriptural confrontation, a Matthew 18 scriptural confrontation. And I want to end with this. If we're going to have any confrontations with other people, they ought to be scriptural. It ought to be according to God's word. That's my prayer for me. And I know, boy, my mouth has gotten me in trouble so many times over the years. And God's working on me, and I really believe it's better than it used to be, but I don't want to get prideful. I'm just telling you that it's better than it used to be, and God continues to work, and we can't ever be satisfied with where we are. But the only kinds of confrontations that you and I ought to have shouldn't be about football. It shouldn't be about politics. It shouldn't be about anything. But if there's a scriptural confrontation, handle it scripturally. Do it the way God would have done it. Jesus had confrontations. You can go back in the New Testament and look all through there where he had confrontations with many different people, but he always used scripture to win his argument. Let's do that if we're going to have confrontation. Just to go back to the very beginning, just want to say that one more time. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. There's just really no point. If we're talking badly about a brother, we're sinning. Simple as that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, first of all, that your word is as simple as that, that it just shows us and tells us and guides us exactly to where you'd have us to go. Help me, Lord, to control my tongue. That's one of the things that James talks about, Lord, that we're not able to tame it. But I pray, God, that you, through your power, would tame our tongues and help us to keep from talking badly about our brothers. Lord, the effect, it's a ripple effect, and it does make lots of different people. It affects so many people because when we start to talk about someone and someone else hears us, they say, there's a Christian, and he's saying bad things about another Christian. God, help us to be not guilty of those things. Help us, Lord, to let mercy walk in and cleanse us from these things. And I just pray, Lord, that as we as a church and each one of us as individuals would strive to do things the way that you would have us to do them. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, and I just pray this in your name. Amen.